In the Lab, a Texans podcast that takes a different look at things. Drew Doherty and John Harris have their lab coats and goggles on and the Bunsen burners burning. Here's Drew.
Hello there, friend. It's good to see you. John Harris, you doing all right?
Doing okay, Drew. You know how it is the day before training camp. We've all got, you know, excitement and just ready to rock.
Some of us, like me, Drew Doherty, have their idiot caps on because my idiot cap didn't press play on this recording, and you and I have done a 35-minute podcast. Well, 30-minute podcast, and I never recorded it. So this is version two. We'll see if it's as good as the first one. I had a fun one in the first one. We had a Mike Leach story. We had a book review. We had a movie rankings. We had a step-by-step of what goes on in the morning on the first day of training camp. But we're going to begin with it's Camp Eve. And goodness gracious, that's a great thing. The three of us, you, me, and you, watching, listening. We're so pumped about this. And hey, before we get going, please like, please subscribe, please follow this podcast, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Make sure you're getting this on a regular basis because that's why we do it. But John, you've been doing an awesome job on your 90-man analysis series, your analyses. You go position by position. You're covering who all is doing what as far as what the team is going to look like as far as the defensive line. That's the most recent one. I can't wait to see these guys in action. What's been your favorite part of writing that?
I think just the reminder of what the Texans did this offseason, what Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans were able to build. And it's been interesting to kind of think about these, you know, 90-man roster breakdowns I've been doing at the same time as I'm watching Giants Hard Knocks. Now, I have not watched episode three, but just watching, you know, the behind the scenes of how a team is built, an NFL team is built.
You're feeling better about this team, aren't you?
Well, yeah, there's part of that for sure. But, you know, obviously Saquon Barkley was a guy that the Texans were rumored to be in on. He didn't end up there, and there were a lot of fans that wanted Saquon Barkley. He ends up going to Philadelphia. So I'm curious to see how that's portrayed. But just it's been interesting because I see the players that we all know about, the Danielle Hunters and the Will Andersons and C.J. Strouds, et cetera. But to remember, hey, Henry Toa is still here. He's still here. Robert Woods is still a big part of this wide receiver group.
Both guys who started a lot of games for the Texans combined last year.
Absolutely. Jerry Hughes just re-signed. How does he fit into everything? What does he have left in the tank, his 15th season in the league? So just being reminded of those players that maybe it glossed over, that people aren't maybe talking about, because when we talk about the big three wide receivers, and we talk about CJ, you know, how does his offensive line go together? But to me, it's kind of those players that you forget about that either came over in a free agent signing, like Mike Ford at corner, and how good at special teams he is. What we saw from him at OTAs as a defensive back and then contributing on special teams. You know, Jacob Phillips played on that 2019 LSU team, joined the Texans in the offseason. He only played 20 games in the first 3 years with the Browns because of injuries in the 2023. He's out completely. But when you see him at OTAs, you're reminded like, oh, man, that dude's an athlete. Long, physical, can run. And you think, man, is that just is Jacob Phillips kind of a lottery scratch-off ticket that you signed for not a whole lot of money, but maybe it pans out and he stays healthy here and you can put him and keep him into the linebacker mix and make that group that much better because you've got a guy like that. So when I go back and I do that, I keep in mind, you know, just those players are, I'm reminded of them, you know, why Nick and D'Amico added this guy, why Nick and D'Amico added this guy, why they wanted to have this defensive line look like this. I think that's really what it's kind of told me, Drew. And then tomorrow, Thursday, becomes, okay, you've put it all together. Now let's push this cart onto the track and let's see how it looks out on the track. And that's where it gets really exciting because we can quit talking about all of this and we can kind of see it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to project. We can look at it and say, oh, wow, this is actually what it looks like. And I think that's really kind of the fun part to me.
Okay, so quick rapid fire answers coming up here from you.
Okay.
The alarm clock will sound at what time? First day of training camp tomorrow morning, Thursday morning for you.
More than likely 6 o'clock.
What's the first thing you're going to do?
I got to get my dogs out. They got to go outside or it's going to be hell to pay because I'm gone all day.
What's the first thing you'll think after turning the alarm clock off?
I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. But it's a step-by-step of what I have to do to get to the stadium. Because Once I'm at the stadium, it's like, all right, now I'm here. I'm good. I don't worry about traffic. I don't worry about whether breakfast was made or I'm here. Okay. Deep breath. Go on the air at 8 o'clock.
After the dogs come in, what are you eating? What are you drinking?
I always have my sparkling ice. Food, though, is always kind of hit or miss. Sometimes if I can grab something quick, if there's something in the pantry, because little old John Harris has to do all of his grocery shopping because his wife is in California. Sometimes I just wait till I get to the cafeteria and then I just kind of grab something and go grab a banana, grab a piece of fruit, just grab something quick, piece of toast, and just get out there and get rolling and just let that kind of power me through and then have a big lunch.
When will you be on the practice field tomorrow?
Well, we go live at 8 and Sean and Seth are sitting in the seats that we'll sit in for radio. So I don't like to get out there and just kind of sit and stew. So I get out there, I stay in studio till about 7:45. And then I walk out there, and it's pretty amazing to see the fans and them getting ready. It's pretty incredible. That walk, that first day in particular, especially this one, how anticipated this is, that's going to be really cool to just see the fans' excitement and see how many people are there. Well, that won't happen on Thursday. That'll happen on next Tuesday, but that's really a cool moment. But I just love that walking out, sun is rising. All right, here we go. Big deep breath, 2024 season begins, and we're ready to go.
So you'll be out there over an hour before practice starts, which is at 9 a.m. So first thing you'll notice when you're actually on the air and players start filtering on the field is what?
Really what's happening in front of me on field one, a lot of times are the punt returners catching punts out of the punt machine, out of the jugs machine. But I also like to do kind of a mental check as guys are walking by, if they've got their jersey and helmet in hand, or if they're not. Oh, okay. It looks like maybe this guy's not practicing today. Mm-hmm. Maybe this guy is practicing today. I didn't think he was going to. Or in some cases, like last year, sometimes there's a guy that walks in the field and you're like, who is that? And then you get to notice probably 10 minutes later, like, oh yeah, we just signed Khalil Davis.
Ooh.
Okay, let's go watch Khalil Davis.
And let me interrupt because you put a nice note in there in the 90-man analysis of the defensive line about Khalil Davis.
Yeah.
And how it took him all of about, 6 minutes before he started wearing guys out on the offensive line?
If that. So we're on the air from 8 to 10, and they start practicing at 9. It's a lot of activation and things, and so really don't start to get rolling until about 9:30 with, you know, some one-on-ones and some other things. And so I walk over. Mark gives me a break on radio. He's like, all right, come back. We'll do the last 10 minutes together. Like, okay. I go in. I got my notebook. I'm writing down all kinds of notes. I'm watching one-on-ones, the O-line, D-line. And Khalil Davis steps up for the first rep. And I'm like, all right, let's see what you got, young buck. And then all of a sudden, he just goes right by a guy. I'm like, what just happened? And for two or three more reps, he did the same thing. Guys just couldn't handle him. It was some power, it was quickness. I'm like, man, he's got something. I'm keeping my eyes on this guy. I went back on radio, and I was like, Mark. And he's like, what'd you see? And I was like, well, the guy that we watched go across the field, we didn't know who was. That's Khalil Davis, and he's tough. That's a guy we need to watch. And then Khalil turned into, you know, a player that contributed all year long to this defense. And I don't know where we would have been without it, man. He was a great dude, a great player, a really fun perspective on football and life, you know, based on what he had been through. And now he's back with the Texans for another year this year, and I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, he's been through a lot, and he was a big part of last year's success, might be an even bigger part of this year and the success of 2023. Okay, so we did a rapid fire. Also, last night on Texans All Access, you and Mark Vandermeer did a nice job, fun job, reviewing a social media post by the Houston Texans admin that went up back on July 3rd. And it was essentially a picture of an iceberg, and it was split into sections where if you see an iceberg in the water, oh, that's mm-hmm. just that chunk of ice there. No.
Right.
It's big. It's wide underwater. It goes deep. It's what took the Titanic down and lots of other ships in the past and will in the future. So at the top, stuff like J.J. Watt, Arian Foster, everybody knows, or J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, everybody knows who those guys are. But down below at the very bottom, you got stuff that really hardcore Texans fans, they're the only ones that will know. Really fun stuff. But that's not the only good thing that the Texans social account has done recently, because really they're pumping great stuff out all the time. And yesterday, they had a cool picture of Jimmy Ward, safety Jimmy Ward, who's been around the block, knows some things, is a man about the world. And they had his top five football movies that he loves. And he had his rankings, and it was a very good list. I think The Program was had the place at the table, starting defense. That was number one. Good choice. I like The Program. I love The Program. So I was feeling kind of cheeky, and I quote tweeted that, and I put my top five football movie rankings out, and I put number one, Top Gun Maverick, because it's a hell of a movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever. I've seen it in the movie theaters three times. I've never seen any other movie, maybe other than two times in the movie theater. Maybe twice I've seen two movies in the movie theater. Yeah. Maybe twice I've seen a movie two times in the movie theater. So that was in there. And you're like, well, that's not a football movie. Well, they're playing football on the beach, offense and defense at the same time. I put that there. Point Break, Johnny Utah, one of the greatest Ohio State quarterbacks ever. He's behind C.J. Stroud, obviously.
Right.
But he's nonetheless maybe one of the greatest Buckeye QBs ever. He played some beach football, too. He was in there. And then number three.
Fast Times.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High because, yeah, you know, I mean, he destroyed it. His car got destroyed, so he destroyed the football team. And then
I mean, that's what I remember about that movie. Nothing else, just that.
Yeah. So you had a more conventional top five movie list. Real quickly, number one for you was?
It had to be Varsity Blues. I mean, I was Jonathan Moxon. If you think about it, Texas high school football player, ends up going to Brown. So I was Jonathan Moxon. So Varsity Blues always resonates. The Program, Alvin Mack is one of my favorite characters of all time. Little Giants, and that one for a couple reasons. Number one.
I like your reasoning here. Go a little deep on this one.
My daughter's agent is one of the daughters for Ed O'Neill in that movie. So
and
that,
if you don't know, it was told time out. And if you're just for the first time, if you're watching this for the first time or listening for the first time, John has a daughter and a son. The daughter is an actress. So she has representation.
Los Angeles, yep. Yeah. Yeah. Her representation out of Los Angeles. She was a child actress. And then she ended up creating an agency that's doing great. And so she's in that movie. The other part of it is I first started coaching seventh and eighth graders. And it's a little bit older than obviously what the age are in Little Giants, the age of those kids are in Little Giants, but a lot of it's similar. There are a lot of kids that never played football before. They found a lot of power and strength in playing football together. I think there's a lot there. It's funny. Rick Moranis does a great job as that coach. And I just, you know, you get, you got, cameos from Steve Entman, Emmett Smith, Bruce Smith. It's just a really cute, and John Madden. It's a really cute movie. And so I loved it. I connect with it. Four is The Waterboy, Bobby Boucher. How can you go any other? Five, Any Given Sunday. You had it at four, I had it at five. And then for me, number six, I went just one more. Even though it's more a rom-com love movie, Jerry Maguire, there's a football.
Lots of football in that.
Lots of football in it. So we'll go with it.
I love, Jerry Maguire is a great choice. So not making the list for either of us, but it doesn't mean we don't love the movies. Remember the Titans, phenomenal movie. Phenomenal movie, love it. But it didn't make the top five. And then also, don't forget about Wildcats. With Goldie Hawn.
Woody Harrelson's in that movie. There are a few others that are in that movie. I think Wesley Snipes is in that movie too.
Yes, he is.
I think. So that was pre- White Man Can't Jump. So I love this, by the way, Ron Shelton telling the story of White Man Can't Jump. Apparently Wesley Snipes could not play basketball.
Really?
And I'm like, really? Like you watch the movie and you think, man, he could really play. But apparently he couldn't. He really was not good at basketball. So when I got to thinking about it, I went back and watched after those comments. And I was like, okay, I can kind of see this. But Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, Goldie Hawn are all in Wildcats. Great movie about Goldie Hawn coaching a high school football team. Which is tremendous.
All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise. Oh, that's a great football
movie.
Such
a great movie. Mm-hmm. Such a great movie. Oh, Western PA.
I probably should have that in the top five if I don't know.
I thought about that. I couldn't fit it in my top five. I didn't know which one I wanted to take out, so I wasn't going to fight it. But All the Right Moves is such a good movie. Stefan Georgievich, Tom Cruise. Oh,
Mark.
Craig T. Nelson is the coach.
Craig T. Nelson's yeah. Coach is one of my favorite TV shows ever with Craig T. Nelson.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mark Vandermeer, I don't think he's tweeted it, but his number one would clearly be Heaven Can Wait, Warren mm-hmm. Beatty. He loves that movie. Yep. You'll yep. notice that John and I didn't have the movie Friday Night Lights in there. Too many cliches, too mm-hmm. serious. Anyway, didn't make it. But,
no, didn't make it. TV
but we
show.
Love the show.
Love the
phenomenal
show.
Show. And the book is at a next level, John. The book is so yep. damned good, John, by Buzz Bissinger.
Yeah, so this summer, you know, Julian Edelman has been doing that podcast, Games with Names. And so he had Ernie Adams on, who is the director of research for Belichick, close friend with Belichick, grew up with Belichick, they're high school friends. He was very instrumental to the success of the Patriots. And so Ernie was on the Apple, was it called Dynasty?
Yeah, the documentary.
Ernie
yeah,
was featured on that. And a lot of people want to talk to Ernie because Ernie seemingly, he knew where all the bodies were buried, if you will. And so Ernie Adams tells a story in a podcast with Julian Edelman that Buzz Bissinger came to him because they knew each other from high school. Belichick and Ernie Adams and Buzz Bissinger knew each other from Andover, I think it was. I think they were to Andover. Hmm. And so Bissinger had called up Ernie and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this book on high school football. I'm going to go out to Western PA, Western Pennsylvania, and I'm going to do this book. Ernie Adams like, oh, man, if you want real high school football, you've got to go out to West Texas, Odessa Permian. That's where you got to go. You got to go out West Texas, learn how they're doing it. Man, that's where high school football is legit. Bissinger was like, okay, I'll look into it. Looked into it. Ends up at Odessa Permian, and obviously the rest is history. But Ernie Adams, the director of research for the Patriots, we can thank for everything that came out of Friday Night Lights. Everything. Everything with a Friday Night Lights moniker, we can thank Ernie Adams for giving Buzz Bissinger, you know, the push to go out to Texas and not Western PA.
Trailblazer.
How about that?
Yeah. Okay. You know what we're going to do? You and I have many, many connections to Friday Night Lights peripherally. You just shared right. one of yours.
Yeah.
I'm going to share one of mine real quick. So, that Odessa Permian team of 1988 ended in a three-way tie atop their district with Midland That's Lee, right. their fierce, fierce, fierce rival,
right.
and Midland. Midland was kind of an upstart. They right. weren't. They've never really been great at football, or well, maybe they were a long, long time, but back then they were not. But that year, they had a really, really good team, mm-hmm. and the three of those teams, because they were tied, the way the UIL had them decide it was in a coin flip at a truck stop. So the three yeah. head coaches had to be there. They
nice.
Flipped coins. And if all three got heads, well, they flipped again. Or if all three got tails, they flipped again. But
right.
because of math, if two got heads and one got tails, or two got tails and one got heads, that one,
yeah.
they're done. Their season is over. All of their hopes and dreams washed away by a coin flip. Cruel, cruel stuff. And then the two, they would flip again. And, or they would flip one coin, and I guess one guy would call.
They didn't have to flip. It was whatever the result was of that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Excuse me.
So that's how they came up with it. And Permian and Midland Lee, they both pop up tails. Midland comes up heads.
And I know the Midland High quarterback of that team. I didn't know him back then. I was 10 years old, and he was leading Midland to glory. But that guy was Jason Stone, really good high school quarterback. And then I met Jason because he wrote a book 20 years ago, and I was a freelance writer, and I did a book review on it, and it was an awesome book. I loved it. Talked with him about it, and we became friends. And then in the last 4 or 5 years, he wrote another book, and this one, it's called The Beauty of the Days Gone By. It is so damned good. It's set in the 1800s, the early 1900s. It goes back and forth. It's in West Texas, North Texas, the frontier. Charles Goodnight, who's basically the inspiration for the Woodrow Call character in the movie Lonesome Dove, the book Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. This is a tremendous work of art. It will punch you in the chest, rip your heart out, show it to you while it's beating, and then throw it on the ground. It will break your damned heart. It's so good.
Oh, man.
Jason Stone, quarterback of that team, wrote that book, The Beauty of the Days Gone By. Make sure you
How
read
about
it.
That? That's yeah, very
you
cool.
would like it. Your daughter was in a movie about Frontier.
One of the first movies that she ever shot was it was not out West Texas, but it was out in an area where it could be, you know, construed as West Texas, and all the history that was behind that particular movie was it was really, really cool to learn about all that. So Beauty of the Days Gone By.
That's Jason Stone, man. Shout out Jason. Great Jason time. Probably was watching this. He's you know, he likes
Jason
football
Stone.
And stuff.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
Wish you could have won a coin flip, bro.
All right, we got to talk more about Odessa Permian later, but we got to wrap this up. John, it's always good being with you. We'll see you again. Training camp is here, and the magic of 2024 is about to begin.